long. Not today. Please, she thought, don't let it be a long rambling letter from the daughter in Canada that would have to be read out slowly and carefully, with detailed interruptions from Mrs. J, to explain all the friends and neighbours chronicled so very, very thoroughly by Brenda. These were people Mrs. Jenkins had never met, never would meet, but whose family histories she could recount as if they were her own. "Everything all right?" Melanie looked out from behind the door to the head that nodded gently and rhythmically over the dividing fence at her. The sun glinted on Mrs. Jenkins' glasses.
"I'm 81.
Melanie knew this more than well enough, though she wasn't sure if it was exactly true. Mrs. Jenkins had been applying this statement as a greeting for at least the past 3 years. When she got overexcited, she could mention it, and one day Mel had counted, as much as 20 times in 10 minutes. Opening the back door was always a risk, especially if you were hungover or generally feeling unsociable. Mrs. Jenkins, who usually seemed to be a bit deaf, well, at 81, kept an all-weather radar beam trained on Melanie's door. So very often, when she dared to open it, the old lady was up from her Parkinol recliner with all the swiftness of a puppy sensing someone whispering, "Wookies."
"Two children I raised. We didn't always have enough to eat, but they were immaculately turned out. Immaculately."
The script was always the same. Melanie smiled at the head that wagged to her across the top of the fence and the remains of the roses. The head looked a bit like a pale, mauvey-grey, shaggy mop on a stick. Mrs. Jenkins' children may have been immaculately turned out, but their mother's pension could no longer extend to a weekly shampoo and set, and neither did social services run to the grooming of the elderly. Her hair's bizarre shade of muddy lilac was courtesy of a stack of sachets that the Meals on Wheels lady's cousin Doreen had liberated from luscious locks when she'd been fired for leaving a client under the colour accelerator for an hour and a half while she'd gone off to lunch.
"It's the bin bag, dear. It needs to be in the wheelie thing."
Melanie opened the connecting gate, went through to the adjoining garden, and quickly hauled the bag down to the communal walled-off area just beyond the back gate, being careful where she trod in her last Christmas toast catalogue cashmere mules, for Mrs. Jenkins' small, orange-bottomed poodle had been startlingly incontinent lately. Sometimes it sneaked under the fence and deposited a sly pile on Mel's scraggy lawn. With any luck, it wouldn't be able to do that for much longer. Mel was about to treat her garden to a complete makeover. In celebration of Roger's deliverance to Leonora, Greenpeace, a gardening company of the kind whose prices made Mel's stomach clench, was going to transform her outdoor space into a 30-foot-by-60 semi-tropical paradise full of palms, succulents and elegant rocks. It was a non-wedding present to herself. She'd make a note about the fence. The expensive artistry of this project did not allow for the waste contents of a dog being deposited on the newly laid pristine stones.
"Where's that hubby of yours?"
the lilac head asked, as Mel returned to her side of the fence and firmly closed the gate. Melanie had gritted her teeth already, knowing that that would be the next question. It always was. Usually she just informed her neighbour, gently and with tact, for no one likes to be reminded that their marbles are rolling away, that he'd moved out several months ago and was unlikely to be seen around this area again. Today, though, there was a new and delightful answer. She smiled, as if it didn't matter, because it didn't. "He's gone to a wedding. His own wedding," Melanie said brightly, leaning forward to pluck the last non-blighted rose from the fence.
"Oh, and couldn't you go as well, dear?"
"Well, no, not really. I don't think his new wife would like it. Spectre at the feast, that kind of thing. Rosa's gone, though, so she can tell me all about who wears what and take lots of photos."
56 years me and Teddy was married. I'm 81 now, you know."
The voice trailed away as each woman returned to her solitary home, in Melanie's case with haste and anticipation, for there was a bottle of champagne in the fridge that would be nicely chilled. Leonora and Roger would be at the "You May Kiss the Bride" stage by now, which had to deserve a toast in absentia. The champagne was Bollinger, for this was a special occasion. Very special. Unfortunately, it was also one of those bottles that was stubborn about being opened, as if deliberately giving Melanie a few extra moments to reflect that lone drinking was a dangerous and slippery slope. "Listen, you, I don't bloody care," she told the bottle, as she wrapped a tea towel round the cork for extra strength.